Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport, the Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy descends to the earth as he is in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation and descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In the Ram incarnation, he remains a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he's the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudeva and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yasoda Mayi to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Vrajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Krishna is more merciful than Ram, Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudeva and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yasoda are more fortunate because they can enjoy the childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than other pastimes. There's no parallel to his childhood pastimes, as exhibited in Vrajabhumi, which are replicas of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Krishna descended himself at Vrajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Ivo, who just got on, has to mute their phone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. Someone who just got on has to mute their phone. His pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda and his pastimes with the cowherd men, especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the Brahmins and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items. Namely, Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied when these are lacking. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Taksurin Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanyamano Bistam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. It's kind of the day after for me. We had the big party, ceremony, function, the Vyas Puja yesterday, and I think at least half of the people, if not more, on the phone were there. And I explained that I'm a connoisseur of a few things, and other things I'm not. I'm certainly not a connoisseur of how to dress or how to eat or even where to live. I don't make demands on the environment like that. And that's what a connoisseur means. He makes demands on the environment that the environment is organized properly and is disturbed when it's not. It's not a bad quality. It can be excessive. But I am a connoisseur, I mentioned, of communication that is done properly and of events, yatras, functions. I'm really demanding, but I have to say practically there wasn't one thing that wasn't excellently done yesterday, including every single offering that was made. I was mentoring to Satyaraj that I really felt the presence of Tamal Krishna Maharaj because his disciple, who has taken shelter of me after Tamal Krishna Maharaj's passed, Jai Subhadra, she represented him. I mean, we don't, even Satyaraj tasted the sweet rice. He said, you know, this art is gone. You know, all the preparations were so excellently done. And not just simple ones, but doklas and samosas and, you know, different things. It was really really wonderfully done. And I do my part by trying to deliver the lecture and accepting the worship on behalf of the Parampara. I came up with a new realization that I haven't really heard, but you know, why puja and why respect is because in a proper culture, authority are those who are worthy of respect. And they're worthy of respect because they have knowledge. And faith opens up the conduit for that knowledge. And worship develops faith when it's and as long as the person is representing that knowledge, then it's a facility for that type of relationship. So it's not just Vyasa Puja, it's honor thy mother and father. And relationships between husband and wife and relationships between the citizens and the government. There's puja, there's worship. So I was explaining how in this function, it's representing the lineage of knowledge, the guru parampara of knowledge. And the other point I made, and some of you were there, maybe some of you were in the kitchen too, but my realization, because the next Monday morning greetings will be a commentary on the Lakota Code of Ethics that someone sent me, and a lot of profound knowledge, and just talked about how knowledge is embodied. It's not humanly created. It's something that exists eternally, that one can learn if one has access to it. And this goes probably antithetical to postmodern thought that believes knowledge is just a product of just ridiculous thought. It goes actually against even modern science. There's no objective knowledge, basically, but knowledge is a product of domination. And then, it's against the, not modernity, but past modernity, post modernity, where they have, but there's actually embodied knowledge. You know, I was once at a seminar in this kind of postmodern thought, you know, and I was giving a lecture, and then someone said, "That's a judgment." I said, "So what?" "So what? It's a judgment." "You can't even speak that. You're making a judgment." And one proof of embodied knowledge is morality. We believe that there is a morality, not a temporal morality, but an absolute morality, embodied within the universe. If you don't believe that, then you believe that some horrible things that we all are against, you know, exploitation, abuse, horrible abuse, torture, then you can't make an objective view about the Holocaust or someone torturing someone else or abusing. You really think that this is not transcendentally true, independent of evolution or society or culture? You believe that, you know, genocide is just a cultural phenomenon and not some. So I was talking about this concept of embodied knowledge and how important knowledge is to describe the use and value of everything. And in this world, the absolute knowledge, which goes from every field to medicine, to sociology, to Veda, Dhanurveda, military science, Ayurveda, health science, it's all related to how things are used to elevate the soul, to make you happy, to reduce your distress. That's what knowledge is for. So I brought up the point of the Guru Parampara, and it's heavy. What is our relationship with knowledge? And we know what elevated souls, and I'm not just talking about necessarily, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, elevated souls, what is their relationship to knowledge? They are surrendered to knowledge. Whether they have a conception of just morality, or they are surrendered to knowledge. They live by knowledge. And that's what Guru Parampara means. People who live by knowledge, they get knowledge. And therefore, it's our duty to live by knowledge and to surrender to knowledge and to serve knowledge and to inquire about knowledge. So I got to share some of my thoughts about that. Maybe I'll even write about it next week. But I also talked about community and how we've developed such a nice community and how people can enter that community and leave the egos at the door. That's what community means. Leave your ego at the door. And put the interest of the group you are entering beyond yourself. Otherwise, and if you don't believe that serves you better than your own ego, then don't enter the door. And we see how easily communities can be ruined by people with ego and agendas and political things. And community is so powerful. Community is so powerful. And I think that's the issue of immigration. It's assimilation. Because communities are weakened if people are not assimilated appropriately. I mean, you can have your different religions, etc. I'm not making even a value judgment about that. It's just a sociological fact. That unity in community, there can be unity and diversity also. But there has to be unity, not just diversity. It's powerful. We know the powers of families when they stay together. You know, even how, you know, certain cultures become very powerful and they become very rich because of that type of unity. So it's nice to have community. It's nice of feeling. It's good for bhakti. Because bhakti doesn't flow unless you accept some interest higher than your own. As your interest, it's actually your service. Your self-interest is service. Service, Bhadram Te, there's nothing more auspicious than service. So it was a good day for all, but it's kind of the day after for me. So I don't really have the level of sadhana that I usually have when I enter these classes. So, but let's go to Queen Kunti, and it's just so nice to be. And that's what's happening in the Bhagavatam now, where we're not just glorifying Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna, but we are getting to personally see Krishna now. He's appeared. They were talking about Krishna, but now Krishna's appeared. And it's the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. And what we see is the mood of separation when he leaves, which is an indication of the relationship and the love. And it is that love which we aspire for. It's that love which we aspire for. And it's the appreciation of something which allows us to attain it. And the appreciation of an emotion is the budding of that emotion itself. And this is how we advance in bhakti. That's why the Bhagavatam is so important. So we see Kunti's anguish that Krishna is leaving. And this is actually a principle of bhakti, that Krishna is so important that there is no limit on the price one should pay to attain that. That's called lobha or greed. That's also one of the principles of bhakti. We're patient, because we know the goal is worth sacrificing and waiting for. It's worth sacrificing and waiting for. So she's in anxiety that Krishna's leaving. To the extent in her analysis, bhakti is better than peace. And I'd rather have turmoil if I have bhakti. You want peace, then there's liberation. There's moksha. I don't want that. I don't want that. If the troubles have brought you vipata shantu tashashvat tatta tatra jagatru, let those calamities happen again and again. And again, you know, I'm going to get to today's verse, but there were so many interesting points about intimacy and reverence. And she has this intimate relationship of superiority, which is called affection. Affection is not, at least in Sanskrit, it's not the word for love that goes above. That's more sambrama gaurava priti. That's more reverence, respect. So the friends have affection. Parents have affection. The lovers have affection. But the servants, it's not anugraha, because anugraha is the word for affection, and anugraha is the same word for mercy. And mercy is not the proper feeling to give someone above. So she has this intimate relationship, but having seen Krishna's position, out of love, she becomes inspired to have reverence and respect and glorification. And she therefore begins to offer prayers to Krishna. We'll just go back a little bit. The last verse was so interesting. She's talking about why Krishna is here. Because it's not karma. This is a basic philosophical point. That Krishna's birth, ajopi san abhyatma bhutanam ishvaro prisam prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavam yatmamaya. Krishna's descent, he's unborn, but he comes for a reason. And it was a very, I just want to go over that, and I'll go with today's verse. It was a very interesting reason that he comes. And it's very interesting is that he descends to propagate the transcendental science unto the hearts of people who are advanced in Gyan. Bahunam janmanam ante. Bahunam jamanam ante, ganabas vasudevas. Bahunam jamanam ante, bahunam jamanam ante, ganabas. Anyway, forgetting some verses. Because they don't have the bodily attachment. So if they come, immediately they can become pure because they're not asking anything from the body. So once they become free from the desire for liberation, they're at the platform of pure devotional service. And those people could have a tremendous influence. So all you have to do is they misunderstood the goal. So if you can just, so Krishna thinking, if I can just clear that misunderstanding, there's so much they can do. There's so much they can do. So he appears in that way. And then she, in her humility, which is actually the process to attract Krishna's mercy, she says, "How then can we women know you perfectly? If you descend for those who have this gyanic tendency, which is generally more a masculine quality, generally. There are generalizations, there are differences. But how can we women know you perfectly?" And then Prabhupada makes the point that there's actually an advantage. Because if the, there's a word emphatic, empathize, the empathetic part is stronger, then it has an advantage for devotion. So Prabhupada made the point, the woman's nature naturally makes them more devotional. And basically, the man's nature makes them more impersonal. And we see that in relationships. What is the defect in man? Defect in man is the inability to express, generally express them, emotions, more feminine quality. Generalization, but Prabhupada said the simplicity of acceptance is more effective. And women are more interested than men in the devotional aspect. So, but it's her humility and anyone's humility that I spoke about this yesterday. And what is humility? Humility is accepting one's humility is accepting the limits of one's authority and being happy, like a child, a humble child, will accept the limits of his control. That there's a greater authority, my family, my father. So that core basic humility to accept authority and therefore temper one's whims and control is at the root of spiritual life. And I've seen in India very advanced spiritualists going to doctors and becoming the best patients because it's ingrained in them that there's authority of knowledge beyond their own. Of course, they're not surrendering to the doctor spiritually, but they said there's a medical authority. So they go so humble, so humble. So that humility to accept that there is authority beyond one's own is so antithetical to the ego. What is a gopi, kinkari? What you want, I will do. And presume they're giving me that definition of bhakti. Bhakti is to make oneself available. To make oneself available. So therefore, having that humility and understanding something about God, that he cannot be captured, pantastu koti satavatsara sampagamyo, by the mind, at the speed of mind for millions of years, you can't. Being, I make that point, being, nature, personality cannot be had unless it is given. The understanding of a person can only be. And what to speak to understand Krishna? It's not easy to understand Krishna. It's not easy to understand God. Just try to understand God in our own life, how difficult it is. Why God is doing what he is doing. It can be confusing. It's very difficult. So there's a limit to the intelligence. The Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matasaram Pabartate Iti Bhutva Bhajanti Mambuddha. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. We know. Why is engaged in my devotional service? It can bring you to the point of devotional service, but the point of true knowledge will come from revelation. It'll come from the use of the intelligence in Krishna's service. The intelligence itself will be limited. And therefore the next verse is Tesham Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Twamya. For one who worships me with faith and knowledge, I will give them the knowledge. And therefore, one has to be humble and in a mood of service. Just look at your own relationships. Who knows you? Those who love you. And there has to be an element of humility in love. Because there's no love unless you can put your, there's no love unless you can put someone else in the center. That means their desires. The opposite of love is to see the world through your own desires. Love means to see the world through another person's desires. You are giving that person authority over the way the world should be. A mother and a child. How much love it is that the child desires to dictate the world. I am hungry, mother. Get up in the middle of the night. I want milk now, mother. Give me milk. A little baby has so much authority. So when you want to understand transcendental subject matters, humility, you want to understand anyone, you want to understand God, our humility has to be expressed. In relationship to God, our hearts are expressed through service and prayer. In relationship, everybody was startled how much Rupa Goswami understood about the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam, Stapitam Yena, how much he understood the mind. How much he understood the mind. And Lord Chaitanya revealed it because I marked him his service. I marked his service. It's so pleasing when someone expresses love to you through their desire to please you, which means to serve you. That may make you very humble. You may not desire to be the center. You may not desire to have that level of control. But it's certainly pleasing. So whenever there's a case of a book that's going to explain a transcendental subject matter, the first qualification of the author, the first understanding of the author, is he understands that the subject matter is beyond himself to dominate, control, or understand. There has to be revelation. There has to be mercy. That's why no path is independent of bhakti, and bhakti is independent of every other path. Because you need mercy. And mercy comes from devotion. So now she prays. So she prays, Krishnaya. So Krishna comes from two words. Krishna means shelter, and Na means happiness. So that's her deep realization. This relationship is the shelter of happiness. This relationship is the shelter of happiness. And Vasudevaya. And then to Krishna's father. One is generally identified with some patriarchal influence with the father. I have my father's name. You have your father's name. The identity comes through the father. So the father's name is important, but there's a progression here. Let me offer to the Lord who has become, okay, Vasudeva, then the pleasure of Devaki. But the mother, although the name is not there, more glorious, because there's a hidden glory. And what's the hidden glory? The hidden glory of the mother is the child has been there for 9 months. Krishna has been there for 9 months in the womb. You may take the name of your father, but you've been 9 months in the womb of your mother. And that attachment is stronger. So Krishna has the pleasure of Devaki. And then Devaki Nandanaya cha, and then Nanda is even more fortunate. Why? Because the most pleasure with children is when they're young. Maybe it's the most trouble, but it's also the most pleasure. We can see how much love there is for young children. So Nanda, Nandanaya cha, they got most pleasure when they're young. And then Gopa Kumaraya, and the cowherd men of Vrindavan, and Govindaya, Namo Nama, and Govinda. After the Govardhan Leela, Krishna becomes known as Govinda, but also Govinda, the pleasure of the cows and the senses, and whose senses are most enlivened by Krishna? It's the gopis. So Govindaya also indicates the gopis. And just to going over some points in Prabhupada's purport, Krishna being inclined to the cows and the Brahmins. Human prosperity depends on these two items. Prosperity is understanding and opulence. From the Brahmins come the understanding, and from the cows come the opulence. And we have sometimes calculating that, but ultimately, our opulence is the pleasure of God. You know, when I drive, even in upstate New York, you know, you can see how depopulation is such a myth, and how many forests there are, and how many cows could actually, if society was organized properly, there's more enough land. And we described before also that the cow represents the mother. The cow is just giving without any expectation of return. And therefore, Krishna loves those who are giving. Krishna loves those who give his knowledge, who give their consciousness, who give their service. And we love people like that too. Think of a devotee who's only serving, and how attractive is that devotee? So that kind of faith in the cows and the Brahmins, it's scientific. It's scientific. Prabhupada said, he's unapproachable by material assets. Out of unbounded and causeless mercy, he descends on earth to show his special mercy to his devotees. And he's saying he's more approachable than Ram. That's what God, Krishna, means. It means God when he's approachable. It doesn't mean when God is diminished. It means when he is revealing himself. And God reveals himself in intimate love. And that is what Vrindavan means. That's why when Rupa Goswami was writing a drama and he was on his way to Puri and he stopped in the village of Satyabhamapur, and Satyabhama said, you should write two separate dramas. Because God is one, but he manifests in different ways. We manifest in different ways in the same body. God manifests in different ways by assuming different bodies to facilitate various services with different abodes. Although he is transcendental and he is one. But because he has inconceivable potency, he can manifest in an unlimited amount of individual ways without compromising his oneness. It's the same, and it's different. So his most approachable way is in Krishna. He's more approachable. And therefore, Prabhupada said he's more merciful. Because the greatest mercy of God is God himself and not what he gives you. Because there's nothing more valuable than that contact with God. Because that is the ultimate pleasure. And that's what chanting the holy name is about. That's what our service is about. Our service is directly connecting God and feeling God. So he's most merciful because in Krishna, he reveals himself the most. Okay, I'll stop now for questions. I used a sports analogy. Yesterday, I left it all out on the field. So this is what I have for today. Anyone like to ask a question? Can someone just say something so I know that someone heard the class?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, I'll see you later, but okay. Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shri Rupa.
Great to see you yesterday, Sri Rupa. Okay, who
Hare
else?
Krishna Maharaj. Jai Balai.
Hare Bo. Wow.
Missing you already, Maharaj.
Wow, it was fun yesterday, huh? And it was wonderful. Nice to see Donna Cayley take all of the people from upstate down there, huh?
Transcendental Drive.
What's that?
It was a Transcendental Drive.
I know. All glories to Elon Musk. Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol. Okay. Oh, Jimena.
Yes. Hemalata.
Someone's got to mute. There's too much noise there. Okay, who is that? Jimena?
Hemalata Radha.
And Seva.
Oh, Hemalata Radha. Were you able to watch yesterday?
No, I wasn't able, Maharaj. We have the visit of Purushatraya Swami. So we had an event here, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. I know him very well, too. Do you know that?
Yes, we told him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was in Vrindavan for me. Who is that?
Seva.
Who said? Oh, Seva. Haribo.
Haribo Maharaj.
Haribo. Okay. Who else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Lal Govinda.
And Brother Sundari Radha.
Haribo. Haribo. Good. All right, a few more people saying. Who?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Seva Priya.
Seva Priya. Were you able to watch it?
We did watch, yes. Jonathan came over.
Did it come out? It was able to, like, follow it and everything?
Yes, it was very nice.
Okay, great. Do you know who else was on it when you see the screen?
I can't see, but I think Rossi might be able to see.
Okay. Because sometimes when you watch that, it shows up on the screen. Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Gail here.
Gail, you have to send me your offering. How can I get that?
Oh, okay. I'll send it.
Okay. It was really great. Even Satyaraj told me how nice it was. It was really
I'm so happy.
It was really
so happy you liked it.
And it was so great to see your daughter there, huh? That was so
nice. I was really happy that we were all there.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Sri Gandharva.
Oh, were you able to see it?
I actually didn't know where it was. I was looking everywhere in the Facebook, so I'll try to look again.
Oh, it was on Zoom.
I didn't get the information.
In the future, get that from Ruti. Oh.
I will.
Okay. Maybe someone taped it. I'll ask, see if anyone taped it, then they can send it to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha
and Priya.
I will see you at noon. I'm looking
we'll
forward
see you soon.
To highlight of my weekend. Okay, anybody else?
Hi,
Bo. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vrajarad.
Oh, Vrajarad, hey, hi, Bo. Great.
Hare
anybody
Krishna
else?
Hare Krishna Eugenio and Gloria.
Okay, hi, Bo. Good. All right, anybody else? Okay, I'm going to end now. Got to get on with my day. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Okay, I will.